Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. Former President Donald Trump says he is prepared to debate Democratic rival Kamala Harris.
The announcement came in a social media post accepting the offer from Fox News for a September 4th debate. Trump wrote it will be held somewhere in Pennsylvania with rules similar to the CNN debate he had with President Biden, but he says with a full arena audience this time. Vice President Harris has said she's ready to debate him, but there was no response from her campaign overnight. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
Harris has won enough votes in a virtual delegate count to secure the Democratic presidential nomination. She's expected to announce her choice of a running mate as early as this weekend. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ditched a plea deal that would have spared three of the masterminds of 9/11 the death penalty in exchange for guilty pleas. Terry Strada speaks for other 9/11 families who objected to the deal.
And it's not because I'm ghoulish or a horrible person. It's because it fits the crime. They've murdered nearly 3,000 Americans on American soil.
With torrential, potentially life-threatening rains expected over southern Florida this weekend.
Vacuum trucks are all over the place, getting debris and clogs out of storm drains. And the South Florida Water Management District is lowering canal levels to increase room for runoff. The hope is that we won't see flooded homes and roads. Police with a warning, though, for drivers. If you see a flooded road, don't risk it.
CBS's Ted Skouten. In California, the massive park fire continues to make the wrong kind of history. Dozens of wildfires are now burning in the West. CBS's Ben Tracy has that.
Now, these fires have rapidly grown thanks to a series of heat waves this summer, which has quickly dried out vegetation and turned it into fuel for these fires. Overall, wildfire activity is nearly 3,000% higher than it was at this time last year. And that is an ominous sign because the worst of fire season does not typically hit here in California until the fall when the Santa Ana winds start blowing.
The winds of war blowing ever more ominously in the Middle East, the BBC's Jenny Hill reports.
There have been a number of similar moments since Israel launched its war on Gaza following the attacks of October the 7th, when it looked as though that war could explode into a much wider conflict. But this is, without doubt, a very dangerous, a very significant moment. And we understand that urgent diplomacy is going on to try to diffuse the tension.
The U.S. is also beefing up its military presence in the region. This after recent attacks by Israel on Hamas and Hezbollah leaders met with threats of strong reprisals. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. While violent crimes like homicide are on the decline in the U.S., advocates say murder rates are still too high. Will Waukee reports.
Violent crime rates in major U.S. cities are continuing to fall from the heights they reached during the COVID-19 pandemic. That's according to a new report from the Council on Criminal Justice. But advocates say there's still a lot of work to do to control crime, especially gun deaths. Charles Crest is with the group Stop the Violence 757.
One is too many for me. So what they're saying in the numbers, yes, we don't have 10 anymore, but we still have an astronomical number that it's almost week to week. We're losing someone between the ages of 30 to 15.
Nationally, the murder rate rose 30% between 2019 and 2020, the largest single-year increase in more than a century. It's taken until this year for homicides to drop below pandemic levels. The data comes from about 30 cities of various sizes, and it also showed drops in robberies, aggravated assault, and domestic violence cases. Ernesto Lopez with the Council on Criminal Justice says the results are encouraging, but limited considering the variation city to city and lack of communities providing accurate numbers.
Homicide is influenced by a lot of local factors. In fact, we know that most violence can be isolated to specific neighborhoods within a city, so that it's essential for leaders to take time to analyze and fully understand local crime patterns while having a view towards more national trends.
I'm Will Walkie. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny. We'll have highs in the mid-80s. For tonight, mostly clear, 67. Mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s on Sunday. Showers and storms Sunday night, a low around 70 degrees. For Monday, scattered storms with a high around 80.
It's 67 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show on Monday, we will be recapping everything that happened over the weekend. I'm sure absolutely nothing never does. Join us. Don't miss out.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, live from the State Street headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah, we were here last night, too, and now I am so excited because Jess, our producer, is live in Madison. Jess, what do you think of Madison?
Madison's great, but the really, really cool thing was I got to give you a hug. Oh, my goodness. Meeting you for the first time in person.
Perfect. It was awesome. You know, say, you know, we were talking about that last night. It's like, yeah, Jess, if you've been watching on YouTube, if you've been watching on Facebook, if you've been watching on Twitter, you have been able to see Jess and Johnny. Johnny's not here tonight. We said we gave Johnny a break here until Thursday. But Jess and I have finally met for the first time, our producer. And Jess, it's actually, I think I'm more excited that I met you than you were excited that you met me.
Nah.
Oh, Jess, but no, welcome, 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 everybody. Great for listening. Great for tuning in. Jess, number one, remind people, we found out today we're at the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference. Download the Civic Media app if you want to make sure you know what's going on.
Absolutely. You are always going to get excellent, excellent sound quality, and it is the easiest way to call or text in to join the show.
Exactly. So get that Civic Media app, download it that way too. Busted Pencils. We always point out too, in Finland, that's how they listen to Busted Pencils, is with the Civic Media app. People are like going, he's just making that up. No, actually, we have listeners in Finland who love our show. Because guess what? In Finland, they have always been proponents of incredibly powerful public education. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Jess, the other great thing, though, too, is just to remind everybody, we are so incredibly excited to always announce at the beginning of the show, the end of the show, Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. Minocqua Brewing Company, they are absolutely incredible supporters of public education. They sued the state of Wisconsin to end that voucher program. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com so you can figure out where you can buy their progressive beer and actually all of their progressive supporting items, t-shirts, coffee mugs, you name it, that's there. Special, though, welcome. I gotta say, we've got a guest tonight, Jess, that we have been so lucky. And in fact, I got to meet Dr. Joe Gothard. I'll just say it's Dr. Joe Gothard, the new superintendent of Madison Metropolitan School District. Dr. Gothard and I met years ago when I was originally at Edgewood College as the dean of the School of Education. I got introduced to Dr. Gothard as one of Edgewood's most proud alumni, who's the superintendent at the St. Paul School District in Minnesota. Got to go up there, meet you, have a great talk, and I found out, though, in the time that I've now left Madison and gone to Ohio, all of a sudden, though, you're like, hey, Tim, do you remember when you went up to see Dr. Gothard? I was like, yeah. We got him in Madison. Dr. Joe Gothard, welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Thank you, Tim. Great to see you and glad to be here.
Really appreciate you coming in. So this is a homecoming for you. Explain, sitting there, we've got all kinds of questions, but homecoming, I mean, truly, you're a Madison born and raised. Tell us your story.
Yeah, well, it goes back to, yes, being born and raised here. My five siblings and I went through Elvium Senate La Follette High School and wasn't quite ready for college right after high school. So I went for a short time and returned to Madison. And Dr. Mike Meissen, a friend and a mentor of mine, mm-hmm. encouraged me to apply for an education assistant position in the Madison Metropolitan School District. So I did.
Okay.
And in 93, I became an EA at Lincoln Elementary School. And the rest is really history. I had so many colleagues and mentors, people I looked up to, tap me on the shoulder and push me to continue to strive for bettering myself and bettering the community. So went back to Edgewood College, my first degree of three.
Right.
Got my bachelor's in secondary education and biology, taught and coached at La Follette High School, became a principal at Tokyo Middle School, and then back at La Follette. I had my master's degree by then. And then President Dan Carey at Edgewood encouraged me through a relationship we had to start my doctorate work.
Nice.
Had never thought about being a superintendent, had never thought about having a doctorate as a one-time college dropout. And, it's really quite amazing that when I think back on all the times I could have, turned to the right or the left or given up, it was this community that helped lift me up and that hasn't been forgotten. And this homecoming is extra special because of that.
So it's really a homecoming then. I mean, this is absolutely home for you.
It is. And I have to say that, in 2012, I did apply for the Madison job. I was a semifinalist that interviewed and did not get it. And it's probably the best thing that could have happened to me.
Okay.
To force me to go to a new state. Now, don't tell my family that, my kids that, at ages of 13, 16, 13, and 10 at the time. But I got to learn a new state, two new school districts, new colleagues. I got to work with boards of education. I got to take what Madison instilled in me and test it out and learn more in other new places. I've grown tremendously since that time.
So before Madison, then all this Madison teaching experience, academic leadership, administrative, and then you go to St. Paul and you're the superintendent of the St. Paul schools, which is a huge school district. Yeah. I mean, district is, when we're talking about these big urban schools, district feels like a word that isn't really encompassing of how big. I mean, St. Paul, how many students was that?
36,000.
Okay.
When I was there, 70 campuses.
Wow.
And choices, regional and citywide transportation. So it really is a district that tries to serve everyone everywhere, no matter where, you live.
Yeah. It's funny you say about the moving, so when you went up to St. Paul, then I left Pennsylvania with an eighth grader and a fifth grader and brought them to Wisconsin. And they were convinced that it was the worst thing a father and mother could ever do to their kids.
Yeah. So. I think it's worked out. Our kids are, my wife Mary and I came back. She just moved last week, but our three kids now 27, 24, 21 have all stayed and settled in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
For now, that's home
for them.
They
found that to be home for them.
They did. And so I'm proud of that. I really am.
Yeah. Well, okay. So Joe, right now what's happening is the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit in Madison these next 2 days. And got to start the interview off by letting you know that Jess and I were there today. We met some Madison teachers, and we had one teacher who absolutely, we introduced ourselves as Jess and Tim, Busted Pencils. We're going to be on the radio tonight. We're going to be interviewing Dr. Joe Gothard. He goes, I'm a Madison school teacher. He sent an incredibly awesome email this morning. And we were like, it was just an email. He goes, no. He goes, he's like, Tim, Jess, you don't understand. This hasn't happened to me. And this is somebody who said he's been teaching in Madison School District since 2001. So whether you know it or not, that email that you sent out to the Madison community communicated to these teachers that there's something different with Dr. Joe Gothard. Is that true?
Well, that's great. And first, I have to give credit to our communications director, Adele Fiedler, and her team, and also Deputy Superintendent Dr. T.J. McCray. They have given me lots of excellent counsel on the best way to communicate with our stakeholders. You know, for my interview on my entry into the district, I think those around me, it's very apparent that the way that I engage might be a little bit different, but it's who I am. Mm. And I think advice I'd give to any leader going into a position, whether it's a promotion or a new city or a new district, is you have to be yourself. And, you know, part of my test in coming back to Madison is, would I be allowed to be who I am and be successful here? And it's great to hear that kind of feedback, but I'll say that an email with promises or declarations, there also has to be follow through. There has to be follow up. There has to be some accountability. I know we don't always love that word, but it's something I take very seriously.
Well, and I think too, you and I know each other. I know your definition of accountability. We've talked about this when I first interviewed you when you were superintendent at St. Paul. You were not talking about the accountability of making people in trouble. You're really saying it's like people have jobs to do, and we're going to hold people to the fact they've got a job description. There's an accountability. Yeah. We think what has happened in the word accountability from a public school standpoint has really taken on its own kind of, I'd say, a negative connotation, because it really means punishment. And I know when you hear teachers and parents and students say, it's like the accountability, which is, well, a lot of them have put that into test and punish, you know, so the old test and punish.
So maybe another way to say it, if you're going to say what you do, do what you say.
There you go. Back it up with what you're going to say. So what you sent, though, today was your entry framework. Right. An entry framework. So this isn't the, you know, look at this. This is a 90-day kind of strategic framework. What is an entry framework? I got to know, because I've never heard of an entry. I've heard of strategic frameworks, strategic design and all that, but an entry framework.
Entry plan, entry framework is a way that you can tell the community what they can expect from you as you're arriving new to a school district in a new position, in my case. And I thought it was important that our students, our staff, our families, our community partners could gauge exactly what I plan to accomplish during, you know, these first 90 days. My framework is guided by the principles of people, purpose, and pride. I can talk more about that as we continue this conversation. But I can't illustrate enough the importance of that people aspect of this entry framework. I will not be successful alone, and I certainly will not be successful without people understanding each other, understanding me, and how we can work together.
Well, so then actually the email, you're a communicator. You're going for relationship person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Our guest tonight, Dr. Joe Gothard, the new superintendent, Madison Metropolitan School District. We're talking to him tonight. If you want to give us a call, 855-752-4842 is the number. Say, you know, if Dr. Gothard said, if you have questions, give us a call. We'll take some of the questions. I got lots of questions here lined up that I'm going to continue to ask you, Joe, as we move into this. We're coming up on that first break. But yeah, give us a call. 855-752-4842 is the number. Our guest, the new, and new probably isn't the true, but this is going to be your first year as the acting superintendent for Madison Metropolitan School District. You know, hopes, dreams, visions, those are all the things that we want to know about. So the fact that you, today, an email communicated to at least a few teachers, like, Joe is serious about this communication thing. Got some more questions. Busted Pencils. Stay tuned for more.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Olympics are underway in Paris, and did you know the Badger State is well represented? 18 athletes on Team USA call Wisconsin home. There are two from the northwestern part of the state, Kenny Benarek, a runner from Rice Lake, and weightlifter Mary Tyson Lappin from Eau Claire. Two from northeast Wisconsin qualified. Tyrese Halliburton is from Oshkosh and plays basketball, and Madeline Watermaker is a rower from Nina. 14 are from the south central and southeast area, ranging from Margarita Vincenti, competing in fencing. She's from Hartford. Palin Jacobson from Elkhorn is a wrestler. Marie Laborde qualified for judo and is from Kenosha. Then we have Lauren O'Connor from Belleville, Sophia Vidas from Franklin, and Nick Rusher from West Bend. They're all competing in rowing. The Olympic Games continue through August 11th. Go team! Until next time, I'm Terry Baugh.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You guys love Busted Pencils music. How about that, Bert?
I love
right?
that.
You know, again, I say, you know, we're trying to bring it, man. You know,
because, you got it.
Hey, I like NPR, but you know what? That's not what we are. We are Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We are educated educators talking education. And we are absolutely, you know, indoctrinators of democracy.
That's what I hear. And civic rights and Bill of Rights and other things.
I was just thinking about that. It's like, you know, yeah, we talked about that. It's like, if you're against democracy, okay, then maybe you do have a beef with us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that. But do you really want me to stop advocating democracy?
Like that fair discussion of ideas and voting and things like that?
It's crazy. There's an insanity there that I think just kind of takes us away from what we're supposed to be doing. It is Busted Pencils, and we are here with our guest, Bert Zipperer, Jess and Tim. All three of us, we have been at the Wisconsin Public Education Network 10-year summit, attending sessions. Jess.
Yes.
You were at a session right away this morning. What do you think? What was it about? Give us your take.
Ooh, boy. Okay, so the first session that I went to today was on equity and excellence. And this is something that we got into yesterday when we had Dr. Joe Gothard on. We posed this question to him, like, is there potentially sort of this conflict between equity and excellence? Because it doesn't seem like there should be. And a lot of people on certain ends of a spectrum, leaning maybe towards the right, sometimes will go like, oh, yeah, equity, that's great and all, but what about test scores? What about kids learning their common core curriculum? And it's like, well, you can do all of that. You can do all of that. And this presentation was so much about how you can find the gifts that each child has. It's not that some students are gifted and talented and other students have no gifts and no talents. Every child has gifts and talents. Mm. And finding that gift, finding that talent, fostering it, nurturing it, and helping it bloom. Mm-hmm. And what I really loved, one of the presenters is an astronaut.
No, like an astronaut.
Like an astronaut. I mean, whoa. She hasn't been to the International Space Station, but she did fly in zero-G.
Nice.
With a science experiment that was designed with her class.
Mm.
We actually got an interview with her that will be airing either on Friday or on Monday.
Nice.
Super, super exciting. And just, it was really good energy just to sit and talk about every child's excellence.
Mm.
And on the other end of the spectrum, Tim, I hear that your first session that you went to was not about excellence.
It was not about excellence, Bert.
What was yours?
Wisconsin State Reading Association was talking about
the science of reading.
And I got to say, I'm going to hold this because we got some great guests. They're going to come on and do a whole show. But yeah, and we've busted pencils. We have taken this on multiple times, you know, this quote, science of reading. First of all, it's not science. Mm-hmm. The science of reading is a marketing scheme.
Right.
And it truly is a push to buy materials
absolutely.
That are, quote, aligned with the science of reading. And there's been a lot of kind of this going, it's like, well, what can you teach? What can't you teach? When it comes to the teaching of reading, I've always been in the camp that I do whatever it takes to help that kid learn to read.
Yes.
If that's letter recognition, then we're going to do letter recognition. If that's jumping into a book already because they're coming in reading already, they're getting a book. I, as the teacher, make that determination with the professional knowledge that I have, so that that's science.
Yep.
So, you know, here in Wisconsin, though, Act 20 is what it's called, which is this mandate, which we see going across all of the states in the country, in my home state now where I'm at in Ohio, truly a draconian effort on the science of reading. I got to say the one bright spot here in Wisconsin that I found out was is that there is a little bit of leeway in Act 20 to not use every prescribed curriculum only.
Do they give you a warning before they send you straight to jail?
Yeah, you get a little bit of a warning. But and I stood up in my session and said, I'm like, you guys got to understand. I mean, this is horrendous, but let me tell you how horrendous it is in Ohio. If you are not using state-approved curriculum, you can lose your teaching license.
No kidding.
Seriously.
Wow.
I mean, and that is like, you know, that's the insanity. L.A. Tom's on the phone?
He sure is.
All right. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Tom.
Are you on the air? I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure, man. I'm... What's happening? You're on the air, too.
Okay, I apologize. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Just
popular
like
sovereignty.
Just like there's union, just like the you know, a union is democracy in the workplace, and we need to remember that.
Absolutely.
Again, I just want to caution everybody about whether it is Josh Shapiro or whoever. Let's not demonize. Let's push, because there's a difference. And the thing is, whether it is a Kamala Harris administration, that vice president is going to have to go along with what the president is saying. It's her agenda. It's not his. Now, I'm the person that said Tim Walz would be very, very good at the Department of Education.
Yes.
But again, I think very, very simply that we need to be educating people each and every day about the fact of how dangerous it is to vote for a third party in this country at this time with Project 2025, and we really need to have a discussion about this.
No, L.A. Tom, I mean, when you're talking about that, he said the stakes, though, Burton, this is the thing, are so high, right?
It's just absolutely.
Like, would, you know, so does the vice presidential pick of Kamala Harris send you to not vote and then potentially go, well, you know, it's like then the other choice is Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so not voting is a vote for Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I know. So L.A. Tom, we love this. So L.A. Tom is saying we want to push. And so we've been saying what we're trying to do here at the Harris campaign, because we know they listen to Busted Pencils all the time, because if they want public education, you know, talk, they're going to come to this show, because where else would you go? We're saying, OK, we want to push the Harris campaign to consider the possibility that maybe Josh Shapiro isn't the best choice, given that you have a Tim Walz.
Exactly. And I think, anyway, you go.
No, it's, you know, or an Andy Beshear, right? They're there. A Mark Kelly, right?
I think too often we elect people and then we don't push them. And then we look back, it's like, well, that didn't go well. So I think pushing from the beginning, and of course supporting her because fascism or Harris.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the other part where you're going, okay, wait, the choice is, oh my goodness, that's a choice. You know, the choice is democracy or not.
Or not.
Or not. Exactly. You know, so yeah, it is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number 608-610-1126. Our special guest tonight, Bert Zipper, Madison Teachers Incorporated, retired school counselor. Talking Wisconsin Public Education Network 10-year summit. Got a lot more to talk about. Yeah, can't wait. In fact, we're going to come back and say, Bert, what was your favorite session? More when we get back. We'll be right back.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. With enough votes in a virtual delegate count to guarantee Kamala Harris the Democratic presidential nomination,
Harris has a big decision to make in the next 3 days. Who will be her running mate? She's meeting this weekend with her shortlist, many of whom canceled plans on short notice to see her.
CBS's Robert Costa, former President Trump, has said he's prepared to debate Harris on Fox News next month. No confirmation yet from her. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ditched a plea deal with three 9/11 masterminds still held on Guantanamo. Terry Strada speaks for other 9/11 families.
I want to see a trial. I want to see them face their charges. I want to hear the evidence in a courtroom, and I want them to face the punishment.
The tensions rising in the Middle East. The U.S. beefs up its military presence.
The Pentagon, in its statement, says the United States remains focused on de-escalating tensions in the region.
CBS's Eleanor Watson, CBS News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Brewers with a victory in the nation's capital. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee with a comfortable 8-3 win over the Nationals last night under the lights in Washington, D.C. Contributions from Blake Perkins, Jackson Chirio at the plate, and this one, top of the seventh, William Contreras lifting one 439 feet on Apple TV. Again, the final 8-3, the Brewers, the Nationals, have now lost 8 of their last 10 games. College football. The Badgers wrapping up week 1 of their training camp in Platteville. Running back Ches Malusi has suffered so many injuries, including a broken fibula last year. He talked about why he wanted to return to Wisconsin for head coach Luke Fickell's second season.
Obviously, Coach Fick's culture is like, it's grinding, it's hard, and like everyone's used to it now, so I'm excited and the whole team's excited.
Packers family night tonight. You can stream the practice at the team website. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny. We'll have highs in the mid-80s. For tonight, mostly clear, 67. Mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s on Sunday. Showers and storms Sunday night, a low around 70 degrees. For Monday, scattered storms with a high around 80.
It's 67 right now.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app. Matinair on Air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matinair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and yeah. It really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the hilarious and deadpan comedy stylings of Tom Ryan. And Green Bay band Ask Your Mothers, Eric and Adam, will join me to perform in studio.
Nightlight with P. Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842, live from the Civic Media headquarters on State Street in Madison. Our guest, Dr. Joe Gothard, the new superintendent for Madison Metropolitan School District, has been talking to us now for the first half hour. Dr. Gothard, so I asked the question, equity, academic achievement, are those complementary terms or are they in conflict? And I'll give you, yes, no conflict, but tell me a little bit about what you, when you hear academic achievement and then you hear equity, what's that mean for Dr. Joe Gothard as the leader of Madison Metropolitan School District?
Well, I thought about answering by saying yes.
Okay.
And then I thought about saying they can be. I think that, it's interesting because as a decision maker, as a leader, if you go out and talk to families, students, community about what they want in their schools, you might hear something that is in direct conflict of what research might say around equity, around how you serve students. And so there's this conflict of, do you listen to the people or do you listen to the research? Do you listen to the history on segregation, for example? In St. Paul, we created an East African elementary magnet school because our families were telling us they did not feel seen, heard, and valued in our school, and therefore they were leaving.
Right.
So we created a school. Now, that school's open to anyone, but as you can imagine, it's highly enrolled Somali students and other East African representation there. And, they are still going to follow the same curriculum. Of course, they're going to have language and culture part of their social studies and integrated in the rest of their school day. But I think you can accomplish both. If students feel seen, heard, and valued, if students feel safe, if students see staff who look like them, to me, that is addressing equity. And by doing so, you can also have high achievement possible in ways that it may not be in other spaces.
Yeah, and I ask this question now because it has been, particularly in the last 3 to 4 years, the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, as if for some reason that those goals aren't worthy anymore. And you hear people going, schools, it's about academic achievement. And typically when you hear that question, it's like, wait, so you're talking about test scores, right? Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The test scores show that certain kids aren't achieving. Most of us know that, right? But there's, to me, I get concerned because I feel a renewed emphasis on saying, actually, if we're not addressing academic achievement, we need to not address diversity, equity, and inclusion because those do exclude somehow a commitment to academic achievement. So that's why I was kind of asking that question. Is it equity? Is it inclusion? Is it academic achievement? And you said, yes, the answer is, the real answer is it's all of them.
It is. In February 2018, a group of student advocates on our Board of Education challenged the board and administration with creating an ethnic studies class, but part two was making it a graduation requirement. Mm-hmm. And of course, the pandemic got in the way, but we fulfilled that in 2020. And, 2021. So it became a requirement. And, I think for the most part, it has been a good gauge in terms of what does equity and achievement mean side by side. Of course, you have students who are flourishing in it and really enjoy it. Others can't quite figure it out. But I think it's been important for the community to come together to understand underrepresented histories in their learning.
Well, because if we're going to actually talk about academic achievement gaps, of which we say there are, we have to actually figure out why we have them, right? And I think this is, I felt like in pre-2020, we were making lots of inroads at helping people understand that if you're going to be concerned, if you are for some reason only concerned about test scores, well, if you want to see them go up, we've got to address historic systemic inequities.
Right. And I think one thing that you and your listeners should know is that I was in a community where it's quite the opposite of there being any kind of divide. It was, you're not doing enough. There was always that weight on my shoulder of, are you seeing, are you hearing, are you following through with what our communities need, our diverse communities need? So quite different from, you know, a lot of my colleagues, certainly around the country, but also, you know, right in the metro of Minnesota, you know, like 9 miles from my house is where George Floyd was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't open your eyes to what equity means in an institution of learning for pre-K through 12th grade students, it was a really difficult and challenging time for us to recalibrate and understand what does equity mean.
Yeah, you were there. I forgot. I mean, what was it like being a school leader of a large metropolitan school district during that time?
We had come off a five-day teacher strike and went right into distance learning for the pandemic. George Floyd was murdered. Our 31-year-old board chair, Marnie Zhang, just an incredible Hmong woman, died of COVID, all within the first 2.5 months of that stretch from March, March on in 2020. So it was, you know, to have a time where as a school leader, as a member of a school community, we were all, you know, in distance learning or you know, not allowed to come together. It was challenging. The first thing you want to do is convene with people for comfort, for understanding. And it just wasn't possible
at
that time. So it made it extra challenging. And of course, our community was, you know, there was anger in the streets as well. Not quite as extensive as Minneapolis, but, you know, right there adjacent to the river, here our community was also struggling.
Man, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. What's that? That's that, Jess.
True as the bell rings.
Oh, it is.
You know what time it is,
Tim. I do know what time it is, Jess. Democracy in action time. Take it away, Jess.
Today on Busted Pencils, the democracy in action value that we are highlighting is justice. The concept that all people should be treated fairly and equally, regardless of where they come from and who they are. This is a value that we try to highlight every day on Busted Pencils. And Dr. Gothard, you are presenting this so clearly for us right now. And I have to tell you, we were at the Wisconsin Public Education Network's annual summit warm-up day, I suppose. And I asked everyone, what do you believe is the purpose of public education? And about 90% of them said it had to do with justice. What we are doing here, this is democracy in action. This is exemplifying the value of justice.
Wow. Mm. Dr. Gothard, so actually, you are our democracy in action candidate. So you didn't know that. You're like, hey, we sprung that on you. But yeah, justice, right? You know, it's back to that moment, too, in that the George Floyd. And you said, you know, and then what came after that, the advocacy around saying this can't stand, this can't happen. And in fact, at the conference today, we saw a little bit of a timeline and saying, you know, in fact, the activism around equity, discrimination, right? Like, we have to get after these things. And now, though, too, to realize that actually there's now been a counterattack back on that movement that is actually kind of framed going, you know, being an advocate for justice, being an advocate for equity, for being an advocate for diversity and inclusion is somehow a problem. And I knew that, you know, from the time we met, you know, 10 years ago and then our interview first, that you were a diversity, equity, and inclusion, justice, academic achievement guy. So I was wondering about this coming into, you know, does the new political framing around DEI, do you feel that challenging? Do you feel the need to tone back potentially commitments to diversity, equity, and inclusion? You know, again, I'm kind of asking the same question I did, but if you just continue to help me make more sense of that.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't think so. You know, and again, it's really important too when you're considering taking a new job at this level, understand your Board of Education and what they are looking for, what they want to support as well. And I think our 7 board members right now will tell you quite the opposite is true, that that we really have to look for ways to make sure that what we're doing is equitable, that it is serving through a justice lens. And our students want the same thing. You know, I'll share with you some of the most powerful experiences I've had in the last 7 years have been with students at some of the most difficult times. You know, I kind of took on a really difficult middle school. Was hearing from staff that it was unsafe. You know, we didn't want to be here. We need more support. So I just started showing up at the school. And after about the fourth visit, I told the principal, I want to start a group here. Mm. And I don't want you to pick the students who you might think I want to see. See the students running in the halls. Mm. See the students that aren't on task. That's who I want to meet with. And I learned so much through working with this group of young Black men, mm-hmm. Young Black boys, I should say, 11, 12, 13 years old, that it changed my perspective on how I want to lead and how I want to center youth voice in the work that I do. I think many times we see behavior as the many ways that students don't want to engage or don't care about learning, and the opposite is quite true. We just haven't sat down and found the environment where a student feels like they can be comfortable with who they are, whether they're homeless, whether they, you know, may not have a nuclear family like so many of our families do. These are all burdens that our children bring to school each day. And I think to have somebody in a suit, sit down with them, really listen and follow up and follow through and be consistent in their lives. To me, it was, you know, again, not talking about me, but the practice of equity. I've tried really hard to break out of the norms of the superintendent and practice in a way that can be influential to the way that I lead and hopefully help others understand too.
So this then, it's reminding me of going back to the email you sent today that again was just seen as such a wonderful thing. You point a comment here about going throughout this school year, I encourage all of you to continue to ask, how are the children? Yeah. This is what we're talking about.
100%. And I think we often forget that. We really do. And it's taken some really dark times, I should say, for me to understand how important that is. And what I often find is that when things aren't going so well, or when there's a really challenging situation in the community or the school, that many times the students are the last voice we go to ask them, how are you? Hmm. You know, how is this impacting you? And what I found by flipping that a little bit is that many times you get perspectives that are vastly different. And that is not saying that staff or families or community are wrong or right. It's just saying that you have to. I feel like I have to, and I'm compelled to make sure that decisions I'm making, people I'm trying to influence, it has to be guided in what I'm hearing from our students as well. So it's something I want to be very intentional about here in Madison.
I mean, the whole idea, how are the children? Because I, you know, and you think it's like, well, you're in schools. Of course we ask that question. A lot of times it seems like that question is secondary.
And Tim, here's the thing. I mean, our schools are set up this way. Our students are pushed through the mold of school. And unfortunately, they are forced to conform. And many times they shed who they are, whether it's their race, identity, language, culture, how they were raised, how they feel about where they are as an academic achiever. And I just think that is unfortunate that that's what public schools in many places have become. And we just have to do better in understanding individual students and making sure that our decisions are reflecting each individual.
What you just said, if my co-host, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, was here right now, he would have really gone in for that question because you kind of laid out, he goes, Tim, you know, we are so good at teaching people how to do school. Yeah. And we forget that actually maybe school sometimes is the problem and that we're helping people fit a mold that is unnatural. Yeah. When it comes to be successful in school, may not have really anything to be successful in life.
And Tim, I don't want you to get me in trouble. It's not school people are the problem. No. It's the system of school.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still talking about credits, hours, time served. I mean, we learned during the pandemic, right? Let's not talk about, you know, how good or bad that was, but we did learn that many students felt self-determination and self-guidance was a way that was better for their own mental health. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that led to great breakthroughs, but it was at least a peek into another way for some students that the way that we look at the rigidity of our schedules and our routines, mm-hmm. that maybe they're not always the best.
No, I remember that too. Yeah, we had lots of people calling in and going, hey, some of my students who are now participating and they never participated before. Our guest is Dr. Joe Gothard, Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk. He is the new superintendent of Madison Metropolitan Schools. 855-752-4842 is the number. Last chance to give Dr. Gothard a call. More when we come back. I need a little room to breathe. 'Cause I'm one step closer to the edge. I'm about to break.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Texting enrolls you in a reoccurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
10.
Nice work.
Thanks. Taking Nugenix Total T makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas, right?
Yes.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yes. Nugenix is a great way to feel stronger with more energy and endurance. And as Frank says, she'll like it too.
Text RADIO to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Text RADIO to 321-321. That's RADIO to 321-321.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, there it is. Little Seven Dust. School's Out for Summer. Bert, I don't know if you recognize that song, but that's a remake of Alice Cooper's
No way.
School's Out for Summer.
Oh, man.
This is how we end every show, School's Out for Summer. We come in, there's a band called Seven Dust who redid this, obviously a metal version.
Right.
You can hear that. You know, but that's the other part of it. When you're listening to Busted Pencils, you get great education, public education, democracy talk from educated educators, talk education, but you get the best music around, the best bumper music. Jess, thank you so much for doing that all the time.
My joy and pleasure.
You're a genius.
You are
bringing that in.
Aw, thanks.
Educated educators talking education. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number's 608-610-1126. Our guest, Bert Zipper, Madison Teachers Incorporated, retired school counselor. Jess, Tim, Bert, all just spent the day at the Wisconsin Public Education Network 10-year summit.
All the educators.
There was a lot of education talking going on.
There was a lot of people there.
There were.
Yeah.
You know, and you say it's like, because this was the entire state of Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I talked to a person, you know, maybe this is what, you know, favorite person I talked to a person who, first of all, did the, well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. And I was like, stop it
right
there, because what a ridiculous thing. My wife did no such thing as just. But she's out in southwestern mm-hmm. Wisconsin, rural Kickapoo.
Right.
And guess what she's doing? She's rallying her neighbors to support the local public schools. And she made the trip to Madison to show that she's a public school supporter. We're actually just got her name, got her number. We're going to have her on the show to kind of come in and talk about saying. And the first thing is, no, you're not just.
Drop the just.
No, just nothing. You are a public education advocate and supporter,
which makes you a democracy warrior,
exactly.
An indoctrinator of democracy.
We're reclaiming that word.
I was thinking about it just before the show. I'm like, okay, is that pushing the boundaries to say that we are the indoctrinators of democracy?
Yeah, sure, we'll try it.
You know, why not? You know, one of the other things when Johnny, my co-host, is on, bro, we sit there, you know, blue-collar scholars.
Yep.
We try to come at this and go like, sorry, you know, that's just who we are. Johnny grew up in Detroit. I grew up in Pittsburgh. You know, sorry, we're just blue-collar scholars, you know, kind of just chopping it up, saying what's going on. And we're public education, foundation of democracy supporters. And yeah, if you're, quote, against the indoctrination of democracy, you might not like our show.
Right.
But I'm not going to apologize for having a pro-public education show, because it's a pro-democracy show. Sorry, that's what it is. People are like, you do a show like on like bulletin boards and stuff like that or something? Like, nah,
the number of people today who are like, oh, you've got a radio show about education. Like, NPR and just go,
not like NPR. It would say, NPR listeners.
No disrespect to NPR.
No disrespect.
We're just not them.
Yeah, we're just not them. And NPR, you do great work the way you do. We didn't need another NPR.
Right.
We needed Busted Pencils.
And Tim. And Jess.
Tim, Jess, and Bert, and Johnny, and the guests
we'll be back
we've had.
Soon.
Johnny will be back soon. I mean, we have had, you know, Matt Damon's mom, regular appearance on the show. Did you know that?
And, wow. And you know who she lived next door to?
Howard Zinn.
Yeah, I love that.
We've actually interviewed her where she's really talked about that growing up. And in fact, how Matt Damon maybe, you know, threw something in the yard one time and got yelled at by Howard Zinn.
I haven't heard that story.
I have to tell you that one. But actually, though, she really talks very powerfully about, you know, growing up, you know, with Howard Zinn being their next door neighbor. And in fact, you know, just she really loved that. But back to the science of reading, one of the reasons, though, we also, you know, we have a segment every month with Matt Damon's mom. What would Matt Damon's mom say? She came on last month to talk about science of reading because this three cueing method, which has been This is outlawed in Wisconsin, so it's outlawed everywhere. The idea that you might, Bert, when I'm looking at a book and you're reading words and you might not get that word, I say, Bert, look at the picture.
All right.
That's a cue.
That's right.
That's illegal now.
No pictures.
No clues.
No context.
No context allowed.
We're not...
Meaning. No, and Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, was like I was part of the original research that helped create the three cueing method, because guess what? We give people multiple tools to learn to read.
And it helps them learn to read.
Awesome. So this is the craziness where it's like we've outlawed. We've outlawed a teacher's ability to say, Bert, look at the picture.
The science of making money from reading.
It's like, yes, completely.
Now, who's going to police that, though, too? Right. My teacher told me to look at the picture today, Mom. Let's get them written up. We got to get them on the science of reading police. This is the
ridiculous.
Oh, man. 608-610-1126 is the number to call if you want to join us. I said our guest, great guest to come in, Bert Zipper of Madison Teachers Incorporated, school counselor, retired right now. Yeah. But Bert, you know, again, really appreciate you coming in to talk.
It's a delight to be with you two today.
It was so good to see you too, because I hadn't seen you
in a few years.
Yeah, you know, and I said, because for a listener going like, I used to live in Wisconsin.
You did some great work at a local university here.
I was the dean of the School of Education at Edgewood College in Madison, you know, and not there now. But
you did great work.
Thank you.
Really
appreciate
great
it.
Work.
And I got to meet great people like you when I was here. So when I ran into you at the conference, I was like, Bert, yes.
Oh my God, it's Tim.
And then I'm like,
you were the first person that Tim pointed out to me, by the way. We got there and he goes, Bert's here.
and I was like, and Jess, I got a show. Because Bert, I'm like, I got a producer.
Yeah, Tim kept showing me off.
I'm on real radio.
I'm like, holy crap, I got a real producer. I'm like, remember how I used to call you and bug you to be on the show? And then, I've got someone.
That's
now.
My job now.
And she's good.
And she's much better than me, who used to just call and bug people. But I mean, even that, though, too, just pointing out. Civic Media, which is now where Busted Pencils is, you know, and again, for anybody listening out there, yeah, it is across the entire state of Wisconsin. Wherever you can get a radio signal, you can get it. Speaking of that, man, Bert, here it is. Check it out. Bert, I would tell you right now, you want something to do? Go to Minocqua Brewing Company. They are a huge sponsor of Busted Pencils. Love them.
I appreciate them. Several of their beers in my refrigerator.
Bert Zipper.
Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for Busting Pencils. Join us tomorrow.
We're all in this together.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend. Has Kamala Harris picked her VP, or is it still to come? Find out Monday.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.